This is Sally Gillardin with Career Well Teleinterviews, and I'd like to welcome Dr. Lynn Joseph, who will discuss a subject that's at the top of everyone's minds these days, job loss recovery. Lynn has developed a way to help downsized workers land a job quickly. Her award-winning study was published in professional journals, and she published a book and audio recordings on her process. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Sally. It's great to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you're with us today. We need you.
I'm loving being of help, so thank you.
Because Lynn needs time to both explain her process, plus she's going to do an exercise with us. It's a very special exercise. I've done it before, so I'm looking forward to that. So, Lynn Joseph, I have some questions for you.
I'm here at the ready.
All right. My first question is, you have developed a protocol using guided visualization. What is guided visualization?
Well, Sally, it's a thought process, basically, that directs and focuses our imagination to create an experience in the mind. You might say it's a directed daydream, in a sense. Positive change can happen very quickly by using these visualization techniques because the brain thinks in images. Experiencing the imagery through all of our five senses enhances the power and the depth of the experience as well, so that your subconscious cannot distinguish between a vivid mental experience and an actual physical one. And, of course, a guided visualization is when someone else leads you through that process. I just wanted to begin, Sally, by saying that today we are experiencing unprecedented, stressful, challenging economic times. And we need new tools. We need new solutions to help our clients to face these times. And the material that we're talking about, the guided visualization, continues to inform me every day in my own life during life transitions, and I practice it, and I've proven it to myself.
Well, can you give us an idea, Lynn? I mean, how has it helped you in your career development? You know, have you ever experienced job loss and used it, or how have you used it in your own life? How has it helped you?
I've used, I can give you an example right now, but as I was presenting my study, research study, at American Psychological, presenting my study there, and I had put together a proposal you mentioned that I had written a book, The Job Loss Recovery Guide, and I had at that time put together a book proposal and was busy at work trying to get a publisher, trying to attract a publisher. So I was visualizing attracting an appropriate publisher in my life. And at the same time I was presenting this study, an obstacle came up. Right at the same time I was presenting in one room, and I had a good number of people, they changed the lead speaker's breakout room, Dr. Joyce Brothers. I'm sure you've heard of Dr. Joyce Brothers. She was speaking in the room right across the hall from me. So no sooner did I get started than practically everybody in my room hightailed it across the hall to hear Dr. Joyce Brothers. So there I was, and of course I had visualized, you know, I want this to be a very successful presentation. I want people who came here to get what they want and what they need and to walk away feeling good about it. And of course that didn't feel very good, but I had built my confidence level up. When you use these visualization techniques, your confidence level builds up. Your actual competence does. Your competence builds up because your self-esteem is there. You've already visualized exactly how it's going to go. And all that happened, despite the fact that there were a few people in the room and some came and went. Well, at the end of this process, we finished, and a gentleman walked up to me who had stayed the whole time in the room, and he said, "Hi, I'm the chief of New Harbinger Publications, the director, and I wonder if you've ever thought about developing this research into a book."
Ah.
And so, how could I possibly have imagined that? How could I possibly even have dreamt that up in my wildest dreams? Well, of course, you know, I had my proposal in the car, and so I was at the ready. like to say to some people who may have had experience, many counselors have had a lot of experience with visualization techniques, and they may get questions from their clients from time to time. You know, this isn't always going to work. What do I do when it doesn't? And is it really effective if it doesn't work? And, of course, my answer to that is it may sometimes not work out exactly as you envisioned it. But what we're going after here is the feeling, the sense of success, the feeling of achievement, that sense of happiness and joy with whatever the outcome is. And when you bring in all of your senses, that happiness, that joy, that positive expectation, the belief that it can happen, then whatever the outcome, it will be just what you need at the time.
Well, so, I'll tell you, Lynn, having a little joy in our lives is certainly welcome during the current state of the economy. So I have a question. I mean, what makes your guided visualization different from other kinds of guided imagery that we might have picked up in a counseling class or just heard and read about, you know, just in the public, you know, media? I mean, what's so special about
Sally, that guided visualization has been around, or guided imagery sometimes it's called, has mental imagery been around for hundreds if not thousands of years. I didn't create guided visualization by any means. And you can go to bookstores and you will find many recordings and many books on the use of guided visualization. So that's not something that I created as at its source. What I did develop is the protocol that in this research was determined, and by the way, the participants in this research had not had any visualization experience whatsoever. And what we found, I developed a protocol that, because I had studied job loss, I had been a headhunter for many years, and I became a psychologist and studied job loss recovery, I knew what they experienced. They experienced grief at having had the rug pulled out from under them in their career. They experienced damage to their self-esteem, loss of control of their career, et cetera, et cetera. And I felt I could develop a protocol using guided visualization that would address each of these emotional issues, help build their self-esteem and confidence and competence in the job search, and test it with people who were receiving outplacement services already, that is, people who were getting training in how to build a resume, how to interview well, and that was about it. But they weren't having their emotional side addressed, their mental performance, their peak performance, and their attitude addressed. So I wanted to know, can these visualization techniques that I've used most of my life work with people who have never used it before? And the proof of the pudding, if you will, is how quickly will it get them back to work compared to a control group, which is the norm? And so I was able to develop this study and used it in recruited candidates for it, participants to the study from many outplacement offices. And the outcome of this six-session visualization protocol, six sessions of 20 minutes each that they did on their own using my guided visualization recording, the outcome was that in the control group, after 2 months, 12% or 11.5% of the participants were back to work. Compared to the visualization group, 62% were back to work. So five times more people in the group that listened to the visualization protocol had jobs, compared to those who just went through the normal outplacement process. So that's what makes it special. It's a new protocol that had never been used before and never certainly been tested before. And so that's I think, an answer to your question. If I might also mention, Sally, that many people often ask me, you know, especially counselors who haven't used visualization with their clients to any great extent before. This question also came up in my email before this phone call from someone who I believe is on the call. And I wanted to be sure to answer it because I think many counselors, including people that I've put through workshops and trainings, how do I introduce this to my clients who have never had visualization? They may think it's, you know, woo-woo. They don't know how effective this can be and how many ways it's been tested in the research and found effective. So a very simple a way that I like to introduce it is, I say, it has been proven over and over that the most successful athletes use these visualization techniques. High-profile athletes such as Michael Phelps and Tiger Woods use these techniques to stay calm, focused, and to win at their game. And, for example, Michael Phelps, winner of 8 Olympic gold medals, for those of you who don't watch the Olympics, was taught how to visualize as part of the process of setting and achieving goals in his youngest years when he first began swimming. When he was 13, his coach started asking him to play a race in his head as though it were a video. And when they were in training, swimming a really hard set, his coach Bob would have him, quote, put in the tape into his head and see himself, for instance, swimming the 400 individual medley at the Nationals. And so this was the mental rehearsal. When we did this in the study protocol using mental rehearsal of job interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Another quick example that I think you'd like to use with your clients is Tiger Woods. Now, everybody knows Tiger Woods is one of the greatest golfers of all time. He says mental toughness is his secret. His greatest quality is mental toughness. In fact, what he does when he's just before a match, he receives a copy. When he's on the driving range, he receives a copy of what they call the pin sheets at the driving range just before. And these pin sheets show the precise location of the pins on each green, and that's where the hole is. The pin is the end result for those of you who aren't golfers. And he studies these pin sheets because you know that the golf range is winding and you sometimes can't even see the end from the beginning. So he studies them and practices while he's on the driving range as if he's hitting toward each pin. This allows him to decide what kind of shots to hit to every green while he's still on the range. And it's his very unique preparation method. So again, mental rehearsal, bringing in all their emotions, all the excitement, or all the sense, in his case, of calm and control when he's doing this. So with business people especially, sports enthusiasts, all you have to do is mention, I'm going to show you some techniques like Michael Phelps and Tiger Woods use. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Michael Jordan, the famous runner, they all have training and visualization techniques. So, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't these tools and techniques more widely used, recognized?
Right. Well, I have a question for you. That's good. That's your job, right? And somebody had a question of, like you mentioned, people that you can do it yourself because these guys now can, these sports stars can do it themselves. Would you recommend that the person who shows the individuals how to do guided imagery be a counselor, or could career development facilitators do it? Who sort of would be qualified to help guide somebody in the guided visualization process?
Well, certainly we must understand that these guided visualization tools are used by many people now, and they are widely available to be purchased by people in stores, online, what have you. So your clients may be rapidly or rampantly, if you will, involved in these techniques. It's interesting to note that, and don't draw assumptions or make assumptions either way, because I have done a lot of speaking on entertainment speaking, but educational speaking on cruise ships, edutaining they call it, and it's amazing to me how many people will come up to me after I've done a talk on, getting your game on, how to improve your golf game, or how to get anything you want. They have to be snappy titles, but I always use mental tools and techniques and the use of visualization. And a number of people always come up to me afterwards, and it's equally polarized. Some will say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this. You've changed my life. I never knew I could do this, or, of course, this makes sense to me. And then the other people will come up and say, I've used visualization techniques for many years, and my teacher and mentor is such and such. Do you know him? But I don't usually talk about it with people because they think I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. So, isn't that interesting? So you don't know if your clients use these tools or not. And so come into them and introduce them very easily, smoothly, as if it's the norm. And it's all based on sound Western science, you know, research. And it's the bottom line is it's effective. So, but coming, you know, in answer to your question, to come back around a little bit here, I think people are using it. However, the best use of it is with a trained counselor. And I say that because some of this work is highly transformational. You can make changes in your life very quickly with it. You know, I'm not talking about the practice on the driving range. I'm talking about inner transformation that allows you to come to a resolution of emotional distress. And when you're listening to these recordings, issues come up for you that are best dealt with in conversation afterwards with a counselor who has the credentials to deal with whatever emotional issues are coming up for you. That can be very beneficial and very helpful. So I always recommend that these very effective protocols are done in line with, in tune with, and in conjunction with sessions with counselors or other credentialed people in this field.
Okay, so in other words, you can do guided imagery by yourself. The average person, the average displaced workers can do it, but it would be most effective to have a career practitioner support him in the or her in the process.
Yes, there's nothing like that professional support.
And how do career practitioners get the training?
Well, I've been asked over the last couple of years more and more for training and certification for the job loss recovery program, and so I am finally giving in, and gladly so. Actually, it's nice to see that there are people who want to develop more knowledge and expertise. So I am going to be offering additional training and even a certification. So to deliver it on a one-on-one basis, either through tele seminars or one-on-one distance counseling or workshops as groups. So if anybody is interested, please feel free to email me, and when these are available, I would be happy to let you know.
We're going to post your email and your website on the CareerWell site, and I'm also going to mention it at the end of this tele-interview. But, you know, if we're interested in it, I think the most effective way is for you to put us through a little guided imagery sample. And one of our participants asked if we could use it over the telephone if they can't see their client. So if you give us a little guided imagery session now for about 5 or 6 minutes, and then maybe I will open it up and see if participants have some questions. Does that make sense?
You bet. Absolutely. And this is my favorite thing to do.
Okay.
It's hard to understand what it's all about if this is your first time without getting the experience. And with getting the experience, you'll know what your clients will be feeling like the first time you put them through it.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, Lynn, we're getting ourselves ready. What do we have to do to get ready? What kind of environment should we be in, or what do you want?
Well, since you're on a teleseminar, I don't know if you're in with a group, but I always advise clients to try to find a room that is private where they can be alone, and if they're at home, to ask family members, or if they're at work, to ask their colleagues to respect some quiet time for them. Sit or recline, whatever is comfortable for you to do. If you tend to fall asleep when you lie down, because this can be very relaxing, and if it's late in the day, sometimes people do tend to doze off, then have them, sit up instead of lying down. But loosen your clothing, feel comfortable. On an ongoing basis, if you have a mask that blocks out the daylight, I like to use a mask myself, but it's not absolutely necessary. And if you have a recording, certainly earphones will help to block out distractions as well. So those are the basics.
Okay.
So find a comfortable position And begin by allowing your eyes to gently close and focusing on your breathing. Inhaling deeply and exhaling fully. Allow your abdomen to expand and contract as you breathe deep into your diaphragm. And again, imagine breathing in relaxation and breathing out any tension in your body. Inhale. Exhale. Relaxing more and more, becoming calmer with every breath. Imagine any distracting thoughts drifting away. For the moment, your mind is still. Inhaling deeply and exhaling. Enjoy these few moments in peaceful relaxation, noticing the heaviness as your muscles begin to relax, and allowing these feelings of relaxation to spread throughout your body. Imagine being in a very peaceful and safe place where you can be alone and at peace. You can create and change your peaceful place any way you like at any time. Maybe it's a secluded place in nature, such as an ocean beach with gentle waves lapping at the shore, or a forest clearing with the sounds of a forest, or perhaps a mountain meadow with a soft breeze whispering through the wildflowers and the grasses, any place where you feel peaceful. Looking around your place, sensing the shapes and colors coming into focus, becoming more and more clear. Noticing what time of day it is, perhaps the soft light of morning or the colorful setting sun. Listening to the sounds of nature around you. Noticing the fragrance in the air. Perhaps feeling the earth under your feet, or running your fingers through a brook or waterfall that might be there. No one can come here without your invitation. You are in control, and it feels good. Allowing any distracting thoughts to float away, you drift deeper. Out of the corner of your mental eye, you notice someone standing in shadow at the edge of your safe place, waiting to be invited in. Curious, you move closer. This person looks amazingly like you, yet somehow different. You realize it's you at some point in your future, perhaps a year or several years from now. This future self represents the best within you, the most wise, the most successful, happy, and compassionate self you would like to become. Perhaps in the position and the future you have imagined. You may invite your future self to enter your place, and as the figure slowly approaches, coming more into focus, look for details or sense the details. Your future self is looking great, as if feeling terrific, strong, and healthy. You may or may not see their image clearly, it doesn't matter. Simply allow yourself to sense the essence of this future you and the connection between you. Greet and welcome one another in whatever way feels right for you, perhaps a touch, a handshake, or an embrace. Looking into the eyes of this future self, feeling the genuine support coming from one who knows you well. seeing your current life through the perspective of wise eyes, seasoned with the years and experiences you have yet to live. Hearing or sensing the words, we can make our dreams a reality. Perhaps you get a sense of what you are truly capable of doing with your abilities in this lifetime, regardless of where you are now. Allowing any feelings and images to wash over you. Communicating with one another now through words or images, or any way that feels right. Perhaps you ask for insight into your current challenges, approaches or steps you can take to conquer fear and anxiety, and recognize opportunities. What are your goals? Despite the state of the world, you can make your dreams a reality. Or simply experience being in one another's presence without communication. Ideas may come to you now or later. Know that you will overcome your current challenges and will be stronger and wiser for it, knowing it will be important to forgive yourself as well as others for past failures or disappointments. Simply be with your future self. In a moment, you will come back to full awareness of the room where your journey began, feeling relaxed and refreshed. The count from 5 to 1 will help you return. 5, beginning to return. 4, sensing the feelings in your body. 3, sensing the environment around you. 2, beginning to move around. And 1, when you're ready, open your eyes and return, feeling awake and refreshed. Take a few slow, deep breaths, stretch if you like, and enjoy the moment.
Well, I must say, Lynn, I was surprised at my own reaction.
Oh?
I could see, I was very surprised. I could see myself doing career training in other countries, and I've done a little bit of it, but that's where I was. So if I'm calling in from another part of the world in the not-too-distant future, then I hope everybody will understand. Okay,
yes,
that was, I was amazed. I really didn't expect to have that visualization. And then I saw myself when I was older being like Auntie Mame, you know, sort of.
I can see that. You.
Coming back, landing, and seeing the family, and then flying off again. taking some members of the family with me, maybe some grandchildren, maybe
how
kids,
good.
Maybe my husband.
And all this, see all this in 5 minutes. And you weren't even in a very deep state of relaxation because I didn't have time to put you through a full body relaxation. But this is what can happen. I'd like to be sure to mention, too, that I didn't turn on the music we thought we might. I like to play a little harp music or other soft, slow music behind my voice. It's a little more difficult on the telephone to do that, but it does provide something more to relax a person and relieve them from outside distractions. And
well, that is a double benefit, but I must say it was very beneficial even without the harp music for me. So now I'd like to find out if there's anybody of our listeners, if you have a reaction or a question for Lynn about this experience, if you want to just click on 5-star on your telephone and I'll see your hand raise and call on you. Anybody experience anything interesting?
Oh, I'd love to hear it. Get some feedback.
Yeah. We have sort of a shy crew, so we'll let people sort of think about it while we talk a little more, but from now on, you can raise your hand at any time if you have any question for Lynn or if you want to talk about your experience. I was really amazed, Lynn, that you could do it in such a quick time. That I have had some experience with visualization, but it's like meditation, but since it's guided, it seems to bring more focus.
Yes, yes, indeed it does. And because we didn't really go into what the job loss recovery visualization is, I should mention that what I did with you today was a brief 5 minutes. Each of the six sessions that people who are in recovery, in transition, I should say, experience a 20-minute session. And so they experience more in-depth scenarios. Yes, future self is one of them, but there's also an emotional resolution and closure exercise that they go through. There's also a mental rehearsal of their job interviews or any other job search function. And there's a meeting with your inner mentor. Instead of your future self, it's an inner mentor. That can be anyone, living or not living, that you feel is going to be beneficial to you to sit in the and most people who have been through these types of exercises come out feeling very relaxed, very renewed. But the script that we did today, I call these scripts, guided visualization scripts, are available for you. And it's going to be posted. Exactly what I put you through today is a good beginning script for you to use with yourself later and as an introduction to clients who haven't had visualization experience before. And you can download it. It's my gift to you from Sally's website, the CareerWell website. We'll have this posted after our session.
It'll be on the link to Lynn Joseph. We'll have the whole exercise link. That's going to be so great.
Yeah.
I still am amazed that I came up with an image so fast. You know, when you're counseling people on the phone, can you give them a guided imagery across the phone? Because some of our counselors, you know, now are doing a lot of phone counseling. I mean, how could you sort of tell what they're feeling or what their reactions are if you're on the phone? When you can't look at them,
we need to use all of our senses as counselors and not just the visual, because the telephone does present one blockage, you know, to our being able to track the body language, et cetera, of the client. So we need to be especially detailed about asking what they are experiencing, not necessarily during it, but to initially ask what their experience level is and start with the easier visualizations, and then afterwards tracking verbally, you know, how did this feel to you? How did it feel when I said this? What was your body doing? Did you have trouble staying awake? Anything that can tell you, can give you feedback, will let you know. And this is immediate access. This is such in-depth access to a person's subconscious mind. Because imagery, you see, is the language of our subconscious. And our subconscious mind, when we bring in all senses, now this is very, for those advanced counselors would know this, but for beginning visualization users, you may not realize that our subconscious, when we bring in all senses to the, like, inner daydream or inner scenario, all senses like the sound, the taste, the touch, that your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what is real in your outer physical world and the difference between that and the reality of your inner world. So that's why change can happen very, very rapidly, because your subconscious mind becomes your ally, in a sense, in the transition process with you in the director's seat. So as a counselor, yes, you do have some additional challenges. And Sally, honestly, I wouldn't guide a long, except with a very seasoned relationship with my client, I wouldn't guide them through a prolonged visualization on the telephone. There are so many recorded visualizations now that, and if anybody wants to know some of the websites out there where you can go and preview them, I'll be happy to, you know, to give them that information, that you may want to specifically for any clientele review and preview some of what's available out there and have them, you know, have them buy a copy and use it, just as use it as an assignment, and then discuss their response to it afterwards. Very basically, there are stress reduction tapes out there that do nothing but reduce your stress. They guide you through breathing, relaxation, full body relaxation. So you're benefiting your client by putting a tool in their hands that they can use anytime they need to, and then debriefing and training with them over the telephone about their experience. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense to me, Lynn, because as you know, in 2007, 2 years ago, when I was moving my mother just about this time of year, it was an extremely stressful situation. And so you had just made another audio guided visualization for caregivers, and I used it when I was moving her. And I'll tell you, I would just, when I went to bed at night and when I woke up in the morning, I'd be listening to your tape, and it helped get me through because I was working, you know, a million hours a day and dealing in a stressful situation. So I know it worked for that. So I just wanted to mention that because you did one for caregivers and for job loss recovery. And maybe at this point you could say, what's the similarity between the two populations, displaced workers and caregivers, and how do they relate using guided visualization?
Yes, it's interesting to note that they do relate very closely in the sense that they both feel a range of distressing emotions such as frustration, impatience, anxiety, sadness, resentment and anger, and even guilt. You know, the dislocated worker often feels guilty that maybe I could have done something that I didn't do and could have held on to my job.
We have a question, actually. So when you finish your remark, I'm going to call on our 617 number.
Oh, good. And then, of course, careers and friendships and loving relationships and many self-care activities are sacrificed because there's no time. We feel like we need to get that job. We need to do everything to get the job. Or as a caregiver, the demands upon your time are so great that you don't have time for yourself. And so the resulting life imbalance and the fatigue severely inhibits both populations' ability to either conduct an effective job search or, as a family caregiver, to care for anyone, let alone yourself. So in these cases, visualization can help reduce your stress, you know, resolve these heavy emotions and regain some hope in your life and take better care of yourself in general.
Well, that is definitely true. It was true for me. I'm going to call on now. I'm blocking the 617 number. Who's this, please?
Kendall Dudley calling.
Oh, hi, Kendall.
Austin.
Hi. Hello.
Good.
This has been very, very interesting. I'm just kind of curious about how, given, you know, for many people, there are no options for them in terms of in terms of work. Their occupation may have dried up. There may not be an opening for them, and I'm wondering how these visualization techniques maybe sort of what is particularly helpful when really a person is really facing a life change, an occupational identity shift.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what perhaps additional tools you use when somebody is really facing a major change in their life. It's not just that they can be as effective as can be to in a certain field, but if that field doesn't exist anymore or there are no more jobs in that field, what other additional tools might you suggest?
Yes. Do you mean visualization tools?
Either visualization tools or other sort of dynamic tools that you found helpful for particularly in the midst of
career transition.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point, Kendall, and I'm glad you asked the question because it tears at my heart that there are so many layoffs now, you know, and few companies are hiring unless they absolutely have to. So, you know, these tools really, really, you know, nothing is the end all and be all in today's economy, but if they can help resolve and relieve the sense of grief and depression and pain and help make you feel a little bit better and stronger and more in control, then when for those jobs that are available, you'll be much more likely to be a top candidate. Now, and I also must say, before I respond directly to that, I was very excited to hear this week on Monday. I was called out of the blue by a reporter, staff reporter for Time Magazine, and she had some questions about the grief recovery process for people who are out of work now. So even, you know, it never used to be acknowledged that grief was part of the career transition process. So it's now being well publicized and normalized. These feelings are normalized, so people who lose their jobs don't have to pretend that they're not angry anymore and that they don't feel this grief. But as a visualization tool, that technique that I would use, first of all, Kendall, with somebody in career transition, I call it possible selves. And certainly there are many non-visualization tools that career transition professionals have at the ready, like testing. But I, you know, I don't do testing myself, but here's one thing that I do. I use the possible selves, and what that is you guide, just like I guided you through the future self, you would provide an exercise for them, and they can do this on their own, and you may guide them through it one time and then have them do it at home multiple times, but narrow it down to maybe three or four occupations that they are attracted to and could do without too many years of training type of thing, depending on their financial situation, and have them imagine each individual exercise would be one field of endeavor. For example, if I want to become a welder, then I'm going to do this visualization, imagining what it would be like to become that welder, the process of becoming, and at the same time, the process of being that welder. How would my life change? What would work, day-to-day work be like? How would I be feeling about it? What issues and problems would come up? What joys and satisfactions would I achieve? In other words, try to make it as real and realistic as possible for them, and then make copious notes afterwards and talk with you in depth about their experience of it. And then when they've done a number of these, you're basically determining which one feels best, you know, along with some of the more practical and logical answers, like what would it take to get there and can I handle it financially. So visualization, pretending to be and seeing what it feels like, helps a lot of people because so many of us make decisions off the cuff. You know, okay, I read about this career today and that sounds interesting to me. I think I'll go try it. But you don't really know what it's going to be like, and that's where you can help and support them through that process. Another process shown to be very, very effective is writing. And writing, not thinking about writing so much, but just sitting down and saying, okay, how do I feel about my life now, and how do I feel about becoming this new occupation? And just have them, without thinking, write for, say, 20 minutes. And if it's an exercise where they're trying to get rid of heavy emotions, then they don't want to reread it. You just want to spill it out on the paper and then tear it up and throw it away or burn it or whatever. But if it's about new occupations or possible futures, then expand upon it the next time. Have them bring a chapter to you, read it together, share it, and expand upon it. So writing can be whatever you don't want to have happen that you put on paper, you want to tear up and throw away, whatever you want to develop into your life and expand upon, then do that. Keep it, reread it. Write new chapters.
Right, I was attracted to what you were saying about mentors too, and how in some cases mentors can bring us back to the same old paradigms that we carry ourselves, versus mentors that may challenge some of the assumptions that we make
yes.
in life. And one exercise I did was you know, not unlike what you did, which is a dialogue exercise using writing, and the person chose Che Guevara. It was a very unusual mentor for this person, but, you know, we talked about somebody who would really sort of offer a contrasting note to this person's life, who'd been very much of a sort of a rules observant client. And here along comes Che, who kind of breaks the rules presumably for some good purpose. And this dialogue that came by accessing Che Guevara as his mentor was mm-hmm. quite interesting, because it really went back to his childhood, where he had these thoughts about, you know, not being a good boy growing up.
Yes.
What were those options if he had, you know, not bought the rules about being a good boy and being himself? This mentor, Che Guevara, really appealed to this
mm-hmm.
mutant side of him that had languished too long. And,
that's a really excellent idea, and it reminds me of a client too that I had that really focused on the inner mentor. He had his grandfather was his mentor, but had long since passed, and so he couldn't sit down and talk with him. But he sat down mentally, talked with him, and really went into this deep state of relaxation to his safe place, called his grandfather in, and actually sat and had long conversations internally and felt that it really was his grandfather there, and got some incredibly helpful and directional answers in this way. So, you know, the clients will come up with wonderful answers themselves and ways of finding answers, too, if you allow them to. And also Richard Bowles, on a more practical, logical application here in the outer world, always his informational interviews are always a wonderful way to go too, just calling up someone who is in that occupation and saying, I'm considering, you know, I'm in transition, considering this occupation, could I have 15 minutes of your time or even 10 minutes of your time to ask you a few questions.
Are you saying, Lynn, to do that internally, like doing an imagery of calling this person, or are you saying...
No, I'm
really
saying actually do it out and just actually physically do it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an alternative. Or I wouldn't say an alternative. I think a lot of these exercises can be done simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody is going to... Each individual is unique, and they're going to respond to one exercise better than another. So, you know, as their professional guides, we want to give them a tool chest of options and have them try what they feel comfortable trying and determine what the results are, you know, following those trials. So I like to offer people as much as they want to have, as many alternatives as they like.
So, you know, Lynn, one thing I've been thinking of, like Kendall came up with a really good suggestion, but for many of us, I mean, we go from day to day, like, who was it on the phone at the beginning that said she had, you know, 50 clients a day?
Oh, yes.
You know,
From Michigan.
I mean, with the employment, you know, unemployment rate so high.
Yes, it tears at your heart.
It might be hard for us to think of our own guided images and to keep it up, you know, at that pace. Are there any tools? Have you designed? What kind of tools have you designed? Like that could help with this? What you mentioned?
I'm not sure that I'm really following.
Like you, I know you have the CD and the book. Could you just tell us a little bit more about your CDs and your book and how we could get them and why
yes.
we should get them rather than do our own. I mean, why, you know.
Yes, because you can't be as effective. I mean, I would love to provide the training that could, with isolated incidents, most people, even counselors, are not equipped to have, and over the telephone especially, to have all of the skills necessary to create the kind of environment for a person to go very, very deep and have the most productive experience. And I just have found myself that I prefer listening to a recording on my own when I'm by myself, because if anyone is around me or anyone live is there talking me through this, there's that little bit of part of me that doesn't go deep because I'm focused on them. And the relaxation part, it's almost an out-of-body type of experience. I can go so deep, I go into my body, if you will. But having a recording, they can do it any time they want to between sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, let's face it, it's a lot more. I can't imagine guiding a person through a 20 to 25-minute visualization on the telephone. I don't know if they're falling asleep, and they probably would.
Mm-hmm.
And the music is such a nice, slow-beating harp music, for example, can be very entraining, they call it, which is slowing your heartbeat down, slowing your blood pressure down.
Mm-hmm.
And you're welcome to do it. You know, the scripts are in the book. You can buy the Job Loss Recovery Guide, and all of the scripts are actually in the book. So people can do them themselves,
mm-hmm.
but it's so difficult to read a script and experience it at the same time, isn't it? So if you want to as a counselor and you want to give it a try, take the scripts and go ahead, even face-to-face, especially face-to-face, talk your clients through it if you would like to do it that way. But there's really no reason why they can't do it on their own and then talk with you about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably more effective long-term.
Right.
Again, they can do one every day. I recommend they do a session every day.
Mm.
And so unless you're having daily sessions with them, it's tough.
Yeah, I could see. So, like in the study, did they do that? That they did the people that you studied that had lost their jobs, did they do it on their own?
Did they do it on
a daily basis, or how often did they do it?
I created 20-minute recordings for them, and they repeated each one three times. And I told them their instructions were very clear. They were to go into the outplacement office and listen to a recording three times, or excuse me, each recording three times for a total of six sessions over a period of one to two weeks maximum. So because they couldn't all go into the office every day, they committed and they did go into the outplacement office and listen to the recording six times over a period of 2 weeks. And so they were in a little office, a cubicle by themselves, with headphones, and they would just listen to the recording. And their comments afterwards were, most people didn't realize how powerful an impact it had on them. They just looked at it as my relaxation time, my stress reduction time, oh, I love this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just 2 weeks. And then 2 months later, we measured the results, and that's and most of those people, almost two-thirds of those people that listened to the recording were back to work. So it's wildly successful, but, you know, I can't tell you exactly why it was successful.
So that was like they came in six times over a period of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They didn't take the recordings home.
No.
So that's like six, they listened for 6 hours over 2 weeks, and it helped them get back to work.
Yes.
Did they have the supplemental, like your counseling or some?
No.
So they did it on their own.
No counseling. No, it was a valid study and followed all the right protocols. We had really strong guidance on that, and the study was published in the Consulting Psychology Journal, which is a peer-reviewed journal of the American Psychological Association. So, you know, it was well done, and we found the only other result, other than getting them back to work faster, was, because we measured a lot of things, but the only other significant result was the people who listened to the recording felt now, after listening, more in control of their lives and careers.
Wow.
So
you know,
somehow it made them have more control, gave them more control back.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, and you're, ever, I don't mean to discourage counselors to, you know, don't mean to discourage counselors. And if they would really want to guide people themselves through this process, by all means, go for it. You know, go for it and try it. But take it easy at first. Start with the preliminary script that I read to you today and track your results before you go into anything a little heavier. And then, you know, get the scripts in the book if you would like to do the whole program. And I would encourage you to get the recording with it so that you could at least listen. If you haven't guided anybody through visualization, you'd want to listen to how I do it on the recording and then, using the scripts, tackle it yourself with clients over the phone if you really wish to do it that way.
And really, don't you think people should do it themselves first? Like, you know, I mean, go through the whole thing themselves and see. I mean, we may have some counselors here. Some may be working. Some may be outplaced, have lost their jobs. Some people on this phone call may be private practitioners who are trying to think of how to drum up some business.
Yes, I would imagine so.
Would it be helpful for them to go through the process themselves and see how it worked for them?
Oh, absolutely. I never try anything with my clients without using it myself, number one. And number two, yes, if you're looking for more business and you just want to learn some good techniques to use in your own life, because this isn't just about job loss recovery, it's about learning new tools to master your life. You know, Tiger Woods, I mentioned, one of the greatest golfers of all time. When he was 6 years old, he used to stand in front of a full-length mirror practicing his golf swing with the mantra saying over and over and over again, I create my own reality. I create my own reality. Every time he swung the club, I create my own reality. And that's mental toughness, you know?
Yeah.
So it's these kinds of tools and techniques that we can use in our lives everywhere we're not satisfied with what our life is today.
Well, Lynn, this is very inspiring, and I've personally found the experience of going through the guided imagery with you for 5 or 6 minutes on the phone today very interesting. I can't wait to see how that turns out. And so I thank you so much. Lynn's website, by the way, is
www.drlynnjoseph.com, and that's drlynnjoseph.com.
Okay, two N's. Thank you, Lynn. And we're also going to post a link to the guided imagery that you did with us today on http://careerwell.org. And I just want to give you guys
Wonderful.
A little preview of what's coming up. We have David Robinson, who's a priest, who is going to give us a wonderful presentation on creating an environment that works for you. He'll be in the middle of February 12th, and he's done that. I've seen him personally, and he talks about bringing personal integrity into the workplace, which is challenging in some workplaces, and how you can do it and how it can work in your workplace. And then at the end of February, we have Lynn Prashant, who will be talking about degreasing. So it's another somewhat similar to job loss, getting through the grieving process. So I am so excited about what's coming up, and I thank you, Dr. Lynn Joseph, for this very, very inspiring talk.